Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13. And in this verse, as with so many of the other verses in the book of Proverbs, you're going to learn something that is very, very practical, and in this particular case, very, very important. We're going to learn about the wicked's snare, and eventually what you're going to see is how important it is for a man or a woman to take care of what comes out of the mouth. But it's not exactly what you think until you see the message. Watch. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Now, the reason the just come out of trouble is that when they speak the truth. And when the truth is finally weighed, at least by God, if not by men, they're justified, and they come out of trouble. But the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. So today we're going to talk about the wicked's snare. The snare of the wicked. The wicked's snare. Now the trouble with the wicked actually is heart trouble, if you want to get right down to the root of it. It's heart trouble. Look in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Build this thing from the inside out and show where the real trouble comes, and then how it affects the mouth, and then how the mouth affects you and creates the snare. All right, Mark chapter 7. Let's get it down right. We'll look in verse 20. The Lord is speaking. He says, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man." The question here was whether or not a man eating something could defile his body. And the Lord said, don't even worry about that. That's not going to defile him, because what goes in will pass through him. What's going to defile him is that which cometh out of the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So the trouble with us, that's right, us, you, us, me, the trouble with us is heart trouble. The stuff that's on the inside that gets us into trouble. But he says this stuff comes out of the man, see, in verse 20. That which cometh out of the man that defileth the man. Well, one of the ways that stuff in the heart comes out is through the mouth. And so what snares the man is when this stuff in the heart comes out of the mouth. You say, well, in what respect? Well, look over here in Matthew chapter 12 and notice, for instance, what got the Pharisees in trouble. Matthew chapter 12. Look over here in verse 34. All right, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, the Bible says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Isn't that interesting? He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Wow! Every idle word men give account of in the day of judgment. Now, there's only one person in the entire universe that can record every idle word that comes out of the mouth, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says it's a measure of a man's heart. Now, let me give you a good example. You want to see how this stuff all started, because we know that sin originated and iniquity originated with the devil. Let's go back to something that happened before Adam was ever created, Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14 describes a time in the work of God where an anointed cherub named Lucifer, who is now a fallen angel because he transformed himself into an angel of light, and his name is no longer Lucifer but Satan and the devil. There was a time when Lucifer, still an anointed cherub that covered the throne no less, was in heaven. In Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? All right. Now, what got his iniquity started was pride began in the heart. But what did he say? Because it is what comes out of the mouth that snares the wicked. Well, watch what he said. Verse 13, Isaiah chapter 14. For thou hast said in thine heart, number one, watch it. You're going to see five of these. Number one, I will ascend into heaven. That's what he said. Number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Number three, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Number four, verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Number five, I will be like the Most High. And what does the Lord say? He said, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Now, five times the devil said, I am going to do something. And he speaks this out of his heart. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the ground mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Those five things that he said right there snared him, got him. And you'll see that where he said, I will five times the Lord said, no, you won't. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. And look at verse 16. You're not going to say something. The devil's not going to say something. Nobody's going to say something against God and have that thing do anything but be a snare, because the Bible says, and it is right, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. Ezekiel chapter 28. Look at verse 16. Verse 14 for the context, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. We're talking about the devil here. He was in Eden, the garden of God, in verse 13. But now notice verse 16, the Lord's talking to him. And he says this, by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, number one, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. The devil said, I'm going up to that mountain. The Lord said, I'll cast you out of that mountain. The devil said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. The Lord said, I'll throw you off that mountain. Number one. Number two, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Number three, I will cast thee to the ground. The devil said, I will ascend into heaven. The Lord said, no, you won't. I'll throw you to the ground. Number four, will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. Number five, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. The devil said, I'll be like the Most High. He can't be. Because the Bible says that our Most High is a consuming fire, and when the consuming fire hits the devil, he'll turn him to ashes. The body of him, he'll turn to ashes. Five times the devil said, I will. And five times he snared himself, and five times the Lord said, no, you won't, I will. Every time. Now, you know something? The devil went through five falls as a result of that. You see, he was the anointed cherub that covered the throne. So when the Lord made him fall, he made him fall five times. Once from above the throne to offer that position. Second time, he was thrown into the second heaven. You know there's three heavens. Paul spoke of those in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The second heaven is where the solar system is, where the galaxies are. The third heaven is where God is, and the first heaven is right here around the earth. All right, he threw him into the second heaven. That's why during the creation in Genesis chapter 1, every day that's mentioned is a good day except the second day. Read it. He doesn't say anything about the second day being a good day. You know why? That's because the devil was stuck in there where the firmament was created between the waters where the solar system is now. Third fall, he cast him down into the first heaven. Right there when he judged him at the first, the Lord talked about that at right before his crucifixion. Fourth fall, during the revelation, in Revelation chapter 12, he's thrown down to the earth. And he's got a short time, and he wrecks a lot of havoc. Fifth fall, into the bottomless pit. And actually, I've got one of those. I gave you five falls, but I gave you one that went from the second heaven into the first heaven. And actually, we go from above the throne to the second heaven, down to the ground, into the bottomless pit is the fourth fall. And the fifth fall is into the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20. So you got five falls. Five times he says, I will, and five times the Lord said, no, you won't, I will, and five times he falls until he falls right into the lake of fire. You know what snared him? The Bible says the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. You know what got Eve in trouble in Genesis chapter 3? You say, yeah, she ate the fruit. Well, there was a lot of trouble that started before that. You say, really? Yes. Go back there to Genesis chapter 3 and see what got Eve into trouble. Now the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. That's Genesis 3:1. And he said unto the woman, yea, if God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And right then Eve should have said, the Lord said to us, of every tree of the garden thou shalt mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. That's what she should have said, because that's what the Lord told Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. But she didn't say that. What got Eve into trouble is that she began to ensnare herself with the words of her lips. You know what she said? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. You say, well, that's what the Lord said. No, he didn't. He said that of the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat. She left a word out. You say, well, that's not that big a deal. You want to bet? What kind of salvation do you enjoy right now? You say, well, it's free. According to Romans chapter 5, it's a free gift. Well, then don't you think leaving the word free out is a kind of an important word? Of course it is. She didn't have to work for that. She didn't have to plant it. She didn't have to till it. She didn't have to harvest it. All she'd do is go up there and get a piece and eat it. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. He didn't say that. He said nothing about touching it. Lest ye die, and he didn't say that. He didn't say lest you die as if there was a possibility that you might not. He said, thou shalt surely die. And when the devil saw her say, lest ye die, he slipped a little lie into her and said, you shall not surely die. It's not a sure thing. She snared herself by the transgression of her own lips, and by so doing, damned the entire human race. Boy, what a snare. You better be careful what you say. You see, the trouble with the wicked, and then we are certainly that. Paul said that I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. No way, he said. Mm-mm. No way. We got heart trouble. What gets you in trouble is when you let that heart start speaking for you instead of the scripture, see? And that's what got Eve in trouble. Look in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, that concerns us because it is a parable of the pounds, and that's us. It's a parable about us. Every one of us is given the same measure of faith to start off in the kingdom of God to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not going to do it unless we do it by faith. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Jesus Christ said, I do always those things that please him. And if we're going to please the Lord, we're going to have to do it by faith. So we all get the same measure starting right out of the gate. Now you can build that faith. You can increase that faith. And these guys that got a pound did. Some of them up to 10 pounds. And so the Lord said, boy, you do that, you can have authority over 10 cities. One got it up to 5 pounds. You can have authority over 5 cities. But look at this one guy that kept his in a napkin in verse 20. Verse 21, he says, I feared thee because thou art an austere man. Now, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, right? If the man really feared him and he knew that God was an austere man and he really did know that he took up that he didn't lay down and reapeth that he did not sow, then he knew that if God was going to reap something from him or take up something from him, he was going to have to sow it and he was going to have to lay it down. He knew that. He said, I know that about you. Well, then the Lord would say to him, most definitely, then why in the world did you leave it in a napkin if you knew that about me? So what did the Lord say to him in verse 22? He saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. The very thing he said was the very thing that hung him. Because he said, I know what you expect of me, but he didn't do it. God, what a fool, you know it? And that's like us a lot of times. There are people today that you know, there are people today that I know that are saved, that have been given the same measure of faith that you've been given to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ and have not gotten up off of the sofa to lift a finger for the Lord, and they're going to be just like this guy that hid it in a napkin, and they're going to have to hear the same thing because they're going to say to the Lord, well, I'm scared. And the Lord said, well, that's all the more reason. Look at Matthew chapter 26. In the trial of Jesus Christ, they could not find two witnesses to agree. I'm talking about before Caiaphas, the high priest. They could not find two witnesses to agree. So they took another tack to see what Jesus Christ would say, and the high priest baited the hook in Matthew chapter 26, verse 63. Caiaphas said, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Now when he said, the Christ, the Son of God, he said a mouthful. Number one, he said, I believe there is a Messiah. Number two, he said, I believe that he is the Son of God, and for him to be here as the Son of God, then he would have to have a natural birth. Because if he's created by God as a Son of God and not born, then the scriptures won't be fulfilled. Bethlehem, that's where he had to come from. They knew that. He had to be born of a virgin. They knew that from the scriptures and many other things they knew about him that would indicate, like he had to come from the tribe of Judah. There's no way in the world that any of that could happen unless he were the natural born, virgin born Son of God. So when he made that confession, whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God, he already said too much. So look what the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 64. Jesus saith in him, thou hast said. Man, the priest was so anxious to get a conviction that he actually said out of his own mouth that he believed that the Christ would be the Son of God. And therefore, since Jesus Christ had said that he was the Son of God and said it again before Caiaphas, he was left with one alternative and one alternative only, to believe him, because John the Baptist had testified of him, the Father had testified of him, the Scripture had testified of him, the words of Christ had testified of him, and his very works had testified of him. The man hung himself. You'll find in eternity that Caiaphas is burning in hell. Why? Because by his own mouth, by his own confession, he testified to the truth. Yet he would not believe the truth. Oh, you see, the mouth is the very thing that you got to be careful of. You better ought to know what comes out of the mouth when you make mention of something, because it's that very thing. Weren't you, when you were a child, snared by the transgression of your lips? Weren't you trying to lie to your parents about something and in fabricating the lie? What, didn't you state the very thing that they could use against you to condemn you of the very thing that you pled and swore you didn't do? Of course. Look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 25. I'll show you how bad this thing gets. Here's a mob that's been incited to riot by the chief priests and the elders and the scribes to holler for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Pilate is doing the trial and the multitude is calling for his crucifixion, Pilate professes his own innocence in Matthew chapter 27, verse 24. When he says, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Look what the people said. Oh, man, you talk about a snare. Verse 25, then answered all the people and said, okay, if you want to be innocent of his blood be on us and on our children. Whoa, man, you talk about a tremendous curse on a people. And they did it to themselves. His blood be on us and on our children. Titus in 70 AD came in and ransacked Jerusalem and killed thousands of Jews, and they've been suffering the consequence of that testimony all the way up until this very day. You see, during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Christ is ruling over the Jews, you're not going to have any car bombs and terrorist activity. There won't be people coming in there killing off Jews like they do today. No way. You'll never have another Hitler, not when the Lord Jesus Christ is ruling. But you will before that. When the Antichrist comes, he'll be crueler than any of them and all of them put together. Why? Because they called for that curse upon their own selves. His blood be on us and on our children. Now the Jews, according to 1 Thessalonians 2:15 and 16, were responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ because of this right here that you've read. And their own prophets, and they persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. Watch it. To fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Wow, what a confession they made. Pilate said, here's your man, here's your king. And they said, we have no king but Caesar. Ooh, gosh, it's been Rome, and it will be Rome that is going to create more trouble for that nation and has created more trouble for that nation than anybody else. What? Just what came out of the mouth. Listen, in Job's great affliction, you know, he really wanted his day before the Lord. He really wanted to justify himself before God. He really thought he was more righteous than to deserve what he was getting. And yet in moments of clarity of thought, he would say things like Job chapter 9, verse 20. Job, in a time, even during the affliction of just clear thinking, clear evaluation of the Lord God, would say things like this. If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Job said, I can't even do it with my mouth if I wanted to do it, because the very thing that I say to justify myself is going to be the very thing that will condemn me. And when I say I am perfect, I will prove by my words that I'm perverse. Oh, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. But that's the way it is. Because the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. Let me show you the ultimate snare of the lips. You want to see it? Because it's leading us to the end and conclusion of what we got to do about this mouth thing. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11, we see the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, these men thought that they could put him down by killing him. They crucified him. They buried him. They put a stone. They put a seal. They put a watch. They put a guard. Nothing could hold the Lord Jesus Christ back. And we know that now, of course. But it's not over with the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every man still has to do something with the Lord. And so in the exalted state of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, wherefore, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now that's true right now, but there's another thing coming. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That'll include all the things that are in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. That's going to be the devil, the fallen angels, lost people, angels, us, everybody. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that, Philippians chapter 2, verse 11, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You say, what's the condemnation? What's the snare there? The snare there is that here are all these people right now, and I'm telling you, you hear it day in and day out. You know what they're doing? Cussing Jesus. You read a novel, and they what do they say? Jesus Christ. And they say it with as an expletive. Or Christ Almighty or something like that. They'll make a movie. What do? They use Jesus Christ's name as an expletive. They call upon the name of God, add the phrase damn behind it, and asking God in an expletive, using the name of the Lord God in vain to damn a thing. Out of the mouth, God's name in vain, Jesus' name in vain, over and over and over, to the tune of millions and zillions of times every single day of the world. And one day, they're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's going to say, why didn't you trust my son as your Savior? And they're going to go, the preacher, the this, the that, the you don't understand. And the Lord's going to say, bow. Get down, boy. Get down and make the confession. And down will go the knee, and out will come the confession. Jesus Christ is Lord. No more in vain. No more cursing. No more expletives. Just the truth. And when they say, with heartfelt conviction, Jesus Christ is Lord, they'll seal their own damnation. Out of the mouth, transgressed, the lips came forth and spoke their own condemnation. Because once they say that Jesus Christ is Lord, the fact that they didn't receive him shows that they're not one of his, and that will be the last thing they say as you hear their screams being thrown off the precipice of the universe into the very fires of the lake of fire. What a tragedy. You know how to avoid it? The way to avoid it is to recognize that you do have a wicked heart. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And now to confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, and not later. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The thing to do, partner, is to recognize that you're snared by your lips, and you can by your own lips no longer seal your doom, but have your salvation. If you'll believe that Jesus Christ died for you, receive him as your Savior and confess him with your lips, you'll change the course of history and the future of prophecy for your life forever. You know how? You'll wind up in heaven. Don't be snared by your lips, dear friend.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.